I'm Marco Werman, and you're with The World. We're a co-production of the BBC World Service, PRI, and WGBH here in Boston. According to the United Nations, nearly half of married women in Iraq have experienced some form of domestic violence. Activists in Iraq are trying to help victims by establishing secret shelters for them. And when I say secret, I mean secret from the women's families, but also from the police and the Iraqi government. My BBC colleague Shaima Khalil managed to gain access to one of these shelters in Baghdad. And let me just add, some of what we're about to hear is difficult to listen to.
The woman who started all of this, Marco, is Yanar Mohammed. Yanar is Iraqi. She used to live in Canada. She left Canada with the start of the war in Iraq in 2003. She said, "I was watching TV. I saw my country falling apart, and my life in Canada just seemed meaningless. I didn't know what I was going to do back in Iraq, and I wanted to go back." And when she did, she started hearing from women about trafficking, about the need for shelter, about violence that's not combat violence, violence that they were experiencing at home or from their tribe, and the need for shelter. And she said, "I just found this old, disused bank building." She started her NGO and she started sheltering women since then. And through her, we met Besma and Salwa. These are not the real names. We wanted to protect their identities. But these are women who came to her after years of abuse that they experienced on their own. She gave them shelter and education. They were able to get on their own 2 feet. And now Besma and Salwa have their own shelters. So they're helping other women as well.
I mean, it seems like a really important undertaking. Why are these shelters secret?
When I spoke to Yanar, she was adamant that these shelters are secret, they remain secret, and that we had to protect the privacy and the secrecy of these shelters. Let's hear what she has to say about why.
The shelters have to be secret because the abusers will still follow the women and try to kidnap them from us or to kill them. And in the same time, if the government wants to crack down on us, saying that we are being illegal, we need to be ready for that. If they know where we are, it means all the network of our shelters gets closed in the same day.
What are the risks, though, of women being in a shelter in Baghdad?
Simply put, if they're found, they're killed. It's the fact that many of these women have escaped honor killings, they've escaped traffickers, they've escaped abuse at home. And the fact that they escaped home in a society like Iraq is seen as a dishonor of the family. These are the kinds of risks that Yanar and the women take on when someone comes to their shelters, but also the fact that the government doesn't acknowledge them, doesn't support them, doesn't give them legal status. In fact, they say that they can raid them anytime. And if they do, this whole network then falls apart.
I mean, that's what I find baffling, why the government doesn't support these shelters.
They look at them with suspicion, and they look at them in a way as an entity that encourages women to rebel against their families. Because, you know, don't forget that the Iraqi government is also governed by a lot of the norms and the traditions of Iraqi tribal life. And the government and the politicians don't want to be seen as encouraging an entity or an NGO that would tell women, well, if you're abused at home, leave home and come to us. They have to be really careful about that. When we spoke to them, actually, it was really interesting what they said. They said, look, we don't trust these places. We don't know if the women are being abused there. The women shouldn't really leave their families home. And if a woman should be in a shelter, it should be through a court order. And the problem with that, of course, is if a woman goes to court or if a woman goes to the police, the first people that they go to is the family, which in many cases are the very people that she's trying to run away from.
Well, perhaps one of the reasons it's not spoken about more openly is just some of the horrific stories that would come out. One of the women
Indeed.
You spoke with talked about how she had been sexually assaulted from the age of six.
They beat me constantly, and when their relatives came to visit, they would sexually harass me. I remember I was 6 years old, and they would sexually abuse me mercilessly. I tried to hide, to stay away, but I couldn't. And when this family left the country, I was moved to another house in Iraqi Kurdistan. But my life was the same. The beatings, the mistreatment, and the sexual violence. The man of the house then raped me.
Shaima, I mean, this is just so horrifying. How many of these women have left the shelters and managed to move on with their lives? I mean, that, I guess, is the upside here, isn't it?
It is the upside here. I mean, all in all, in the last 15 years, Yanar told me it was around 1,000 women, a little less than 1,000 women that she's helped, many of whom have left the shelters and either have gone to other cities in Iraq and have started jobs. Some of the women that we've met, for example, again, Salwa and Basma, they're still in Baghdad. They're now working within the NGO, but they're also running their own shelters. So they've kind of graduated in a way and are now starting their own shelters, receiving women. And I guess the great thing about this network is that, you know, when you've gone through that experience, as they tell me, you're able to deal with the women that are coming in because you're in the same boat. You've gone through what they've gone through. You know the fear. You know what it feels like that very first night when you've left a horrible situation and you finally, you know, you finally are able to sleep. Well, you know, there's something, Marco, that will stay with me, I think, forever. What Salwa told me, I said, what was it like when you left all this abuse, all this harassment behind, and it was the first night that you slept in relative safety? And she said, I cannot tell you what it feels like when you sleep in a room and you're not afraid that someone is going to open up that door and rape you that night. That is the best feeling. And I think it's the idea that you're safe, that no one is going to harass you now. No one is going to abuse you. No one is going to harm you physically or beat you for no reason that these women are after. And most of them tell me it's that feeling. And when we feel that we're all right and we can face anything else.
Yeah, boy, that is a powerful takeaway. My BBC colleague Shaima Khalil, who was just in Baghdad, where she was looking into secret shelters for Iraqi women who are victims of violence. Shaima, always great to speak with you. Thanks for your time.
Always great to be with you, Marco.